Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Well, here we are back at Kill With Kill Me Now. I'm here with JJ.
Hi, Judy.
We have a very exciting guest today. Very exciting!
Super exciting.
Going to be a two-parter. It's going to be a two-parter. I have to say, this is going to air next week, so they're going to vote on Kavanaugh on Friday.
Shame. They shouldn't.
And by the way, we record right next to the Yale Club, and apparently, JJ said...
He's here today. That's what I was told.
Really?
Brett Kavanaugh next door right now.
First of all, you know what's pissing me off? I can't... The fact that he can act like a fucking spoiled brat screaming like, I worked really hard!
Yeah.
Get away.
Yeah, your mom was a judge.
Right.
And went to the best schools.
Right.
And, you know, stop being a whiner.
I know. He is a fucking whiner. I'm going to go to Hollywood and be like, I went out every night and did sets, and I wrote jokes, and I wrote one-woman shows, and I deserve to be on a sitcom. That's what I'm going to do.
That should work.
Hasn't worked yet. That's been really pissing me off.
Yeah, no, I think it's pissing a lot of people off.
Right,
I mean,
but how do they get
like...
away? How do they fucking get away with this shit? Like, I can't fuck. And the way Trump talked to that female reporter?
Awful. The whole thing is terrible.
And Lindsey Graham's a... Ugh.
And look, I'm in the camp that believes he is guilty. And
yes, I am too.
If not of that, then of plenty of other things.
Right.
Mostly being a dick.
Right.
But... he handled the thing so poorly, right? Whatever strategy he was given, I guess it works for some people.
He was given the Donald Trump
exactly,
strategy.
Exactly, but wouldn't it have been better, and certainly in hindsight, but he could have had the foresight to have seen this. When they brought up all this bullshit about the yearbook, why didn't he just say, you know what?
I was an asshole.
I was an asshole at 16. Thank God I've changed. But, you know.
Right.
Yes, I put in a bunch of stuff so I would sound cool because
right.
Everybody else was doing it. I mean, I never had sex. I didn't do these things.
I don't believe that.
You know, but I was a moron, and everybody's a moron at 16.
I mean, and like to lie
instead,
about
he lied.
A devil's triangle.
Right.
And boffing.
Right. The best is Ralphing.
Oh, and Ralphie. Yeah, yeah.
I like, have a very spicy food upset.
Yeah,
my
spicy
tummy.
Food. But, and you, if you watch, if you watch the Devil's Triangle question,
yeah.
you can see him making up the lie in his head because he doesn't say anything and he goes,
drinking game.
Do you ever play Quarters?
I'm like, I never heard of fucking Devil's Triangle drinking game.
And you've played them all.
Shut up. It's starting to really like have an, like I know friends of mine who can't sleep because of this shit, because of these.
Because he's going to, could potentially be on the Supreme Court. It's an important position. I mean, it's going to affect the
but
people's lives.
His,
he will affect people's
so,
lives.
All right, let's say he's innocent.
Like
okay.
Ted Cruz might not affect my life.
Oh,
this guy, if he gets a seat on the Supreme Court, there's a good chance he will.
Okay. If we take away all the yearbook shit and all that shit, his temperament and the way he spoke to Amy Klobuchar and...
Well, now we know he's partisan. I mean,
right, and he did that whole fucking, you know, diatribe about the Clintons and everything. He's a fucking white, entitled,
very
spoiled fucking brat. He has those broken blood vessels on his fucking face.
There's no way. Someone's got to stop this guy. Plus, if he gets on, don't you think just more shit's going to come out and they're going to have to impeach this guy? I mean,
yeah, and then they have to go through all that shit.
All that shit. It'd be never ending.
And I hate Donald Trump Jr. He's such a greaseball fuckface. I hate them all. They have to go.
I think they will.
All right, but we, you know, we'll already know shit by the time this airs. All right, are you ready for the guest?
No. What else should we talk about? Yeah, we can bring in the guest.
All right. Can't wait.
Hey, everyone. I have a new sponsor, and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
Today's guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Stritch.
Billy Stritch is here!
God, how did you get him?
Oh, he is Billy, fucking love you.
I love you.
I fucking love you. You're so fucking talented.
Well, I love you beyond the fact that you're fucking talented.
Oh, no, you're beyond.
I would love you even if you weren't talented.
Oh, honey. So we, JJ, we were just in P-Town this summer, and we sat, because you were playing for Marilyn May.
I was.
Who I did a podcast with.
I know.
And we're sitting at the bar afterwards, and we just started fucking cracking up like we were fucking like 9 years old.
Truly.
And realized that we would have been best friends in high school.
What were you drinking?
What?
What were you drinking?
Martinis.
Ooh. Oh, sure. Like, just like high school.
All right. Can I just say something?
Pros.
I'm sick.
You guys are pros.
You got.
Get
over.
Get in on the mic.
Take that fucking thing off.
Yeah, take this windscreen off.
All
right.
There we are.
There you go.
Here's the thing that I've decided about vodka. You know, I like potato vodka.
Okay.
Chopin. You know, because it's smooth, right? Everyone loves Tito's. I mean, I like Tito's, but it's not like it's corn. And they're like, eh. I'm like, do you have any potato vodka? And they're always like, no, we have Tito's. I'm like, it's corn. Learn your fucking vodkas.
Learn your grains.
Agreed. Belvedere. Yeah. I'm a Belvedere guy.
You are?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a Grey Goose guy.
You are?
I am. But remember when Kettle One was like
yes!
the new one? That
Kettle One. Like, why do you like Grey Goose?
I just like the taste of it. You know, if I'm going to drink it straight in a martini.
That's what I drink.
I like Grey Goose.
But we should do a taste test.
I don't know why.
We should. We should have a martini taste test. Yeah. I'm telling you, my friend Kate, Moira Ryan, who does not drink anymore.
I love her.
Yeah.
I met her in Provincetown a couple years ago.
So she taught me all about vodka before she stopped drinking.
Is she still fun, even though she doesn't drink?
Yeah, she really is.
Good.
Like, she's one of those people who, like, she doesn't care if you drink or she never says anything.
So
she wasn't good when, she was not good when she was drinking. I was always like, oh, fuck, she's going to start, she's you know, she was one of those people that, you know.
She would get, like, confrontational.
And it was like, no, you, and I was
never
like,
said
no.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I couldn't. But she taught me all about vodka, and so now I love potato.
Where are you from?
Potato.
Girl? Where are you from?
So Billy Stritch, for our listeners, he's a fucking musical genius. I mean, you're a prodigy. You are a prodigy.
I don't think you could be a prodigy at age 56.
Yes, you were a prodigy. you're a Grammy winner. I mean, you've worked with every fucking singer ever, pretty much.
A lot of them, yeah.
You grew up in Texas.
I did.
Texas. Wait, I have it down. Sugarland.
Correct.
What is Sugarland? Oh, Sugarland.
Sugarland. It's very British. Sugarland.
What was Sugarland?
Sugarland.
Like?
A very small town when I grew up there. It's called Sugarland because the Imperial Sugar Company was based there.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Domino's was my sugar.
Right, of course. Domino's was our competitor, our hated competitor.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you all buy Sugarland shit? Did your father work for Sugarland?
He didn't, but most of the people in the town worked
for that. So that was like the big
industry.
So like Trump would have been there, like, oh, the Sugarland employees, we're going to tariffs.
Yeah, exactly. Building a new plant next year.
Sugarland's coming back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, coal and Sugarland.
So P.S., you know, Sugarland when I was growing up was 3,000 people. And it's like 20 minutes away from downtown Houston, you know, so it was like a little
schlep. Oh, you say Houston. You say Houston.
Yeah, with a Y. Houston.
Okay.
And now it's 85,000 people. It is really huge. And it's like been swallowed up by Houston. By Houston. And whenever I go down there now, it's like totally different from the way it was when I grew up there.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Really riveting.
So you have an older sister.
I have two older sisters.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Good research.
Yeah.
JJ, shut the fuck up.
Okay.
And I have a brother, too.
You do? He's never mentioned in anything.
We don't talk about him.
Why?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, so what number are you out of the four?
I am 3 out of 4.
Really?
Yep.
Are you the only gay?
Yep.
Wow.
I have nieces. I have a niece that's gay.
And that's from you?
It's totally from me.
Right.
Sure.
And whose kid is that?
That is my oldest sister's kid.
Is she pissed?
I don't think so. I mean, she might be. I don't know. I don't talk to her that much. She's, you know, she's pretty hip, you know.
Really?
Yeah. She lives in Austin, so you
know. Oh, Austin's good.
That's the hippest place in Texas.
Yeah. So wait, totally where do the other two live?
The other two, my siblings?
Yeah.
Oh, they all three of my siblings live in Sugarland. So everybody lives in Texas.
You just said you're...
The niece is living in Austin. Yes.
But they all stayed in Sugar Land?
Everyone's in Texas, yeah. They all stayed there.
Oh, smile? My yeah. God.
Yeah, everybody's still there. I'm the only one that got out.
So what did your parents do? Was your mother a housewife? And your
Yes, my mother was a housewife. And by the time that we got old enough, she took odd jobs. She was a bus driver for a while.
No way!
Substitute teacher for a long time.
Wait, she was which bus? The big or the small?
School bus, you know.
Oh, right.
Big yellow school
bus. What the fuck? When you did the thing with
yeah.
your arm?
Oh, yeah, totally. She had that down. My mom's really like tennis player, athletic.
Really?
Yeah.
So she's the lesbian she's in the family.
I hope she never hears this, but yeah.
She is the gay.
She really
Cuz it's genetic.
It's genetic, you know.
Do you absolutely. Think they had a lot of sex, your parents?
I don't imagine.
Right, cuz she's a lesbian.
They had well,
tennis
I just
bus driver?
Yeah. They got married so young, and I think that was it.
Right.
And they had, you know.
Did she kids. Ever have like a best girlfriend who used to come over all the time?
No. Oh. Tennis buddies. Oh, she
yeah.
Had
oh, yeah.
On the tennis league.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was starting with my vocal group in the 80s, we worked at a gay bar in Houston. And every now and then I would see some of these tennis ladies.
No, the tennis ladies?
Nice. No, we played tennis with
nice.
Your mom and everything. And then at one point I said, you know, your friends, Judy and whatever, you know,
yeah.
Betty came in to see it. Now, why did they come in there? You know, I'm like, well, you know, she just didn't get it.
Right.
She couldn't get it that... Some of these women were gay.
That's funny. Yeah. And what about your father? What did he do?
He and his mother, my grandmother, owned bookstores, retail bookstores.
Really?
Yeah, in Houston.
Houston.
Yes, when I was growing up, that was really cool because I would work in the summer times
at the bookstore.
At the bookstore?
And you got
books.
To read?
Got
and
to read all the time.
Was he a big reader?
He was a pretty big reader. My grandmother really was
a big
reader. And they did that for about 20 years until the big chain stores came in.
Like and Barnes fucked and everything up. What was the name of the bookstore?
Bookland.
Oh.
Sweet. It was sweet.
Bookland
you would have liked it.
And Sugarland.
Bookland.
Oh, nice, JJ.
Yeah, nice.
Good job.
It was.
Notice how I haven't rang the Jew bell once. This is so gayish, this fucking podcast.
I'm telling you,
it's
very
Sugarland,
very Presbyterian.
Bookland.
Yes,
yeah.
Bookland.
I only get a half ring.
Do you?
Yeah. Because it's half only George. As mm-hmm. yeah, it's
Got
only
it.
His mother.
How do you? Yeah, never mind.
And he doesn't do anything. So, did you have a piano in the house?
Yes, piano in the house.
So you had a culture. I mean, even though you were in Sugarland,
yes,
it was like. The culture
musical.
In your home.
Not necessarily, because my parents weren't musical at all.
Right.
There was an old upright piano that was my mom's.
Right.
And so luckily...
Lesbian.
Right.
We should have a lesbian bell this... Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, when I was three and four, my earliest memories are of, like, sitting at the piano and, like, banging on the piano.
Right.
You know, and then when I got old enough, I could, like, start to figure out little melodies.
Right.
And play little things. And so when I was about six, seven... I started taking piano lessons.
For who was your first piano teacher?
Mr. Schwalbe. German.
Wow.
German.
Mr. Schwalbe.
How old do you think he was?
How old was he at the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure he probably was 50, but he seemed ancient.
Right.
At the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Really.
Wait, did he come to your house?
No, we went to his house.
Where did he live in Sugarland?
Sugarland. He lived in the old part of Sugarland, and he worked also for the Sugarland Industries. But he taught. He taught kids in the neighborhood.
Did he have an accent like that kind of?
Yes,
German?
Old Germanic. He was like
he?
From,
what was he married?
He was married
to a woman.
To a woman.
Was he Nazi?
Did he have any? Was he Nazi?
That's worth the bell.
I know, right?
Yeah,
I really hit that bell.
I don't know.
I
don't think so. He was just musical. That was
right.
Yeah.
Did he want you to play like Wagner all the time?
Yeah, I had to practice and fingering and like,
yeah, fingering.
Well,
that's good.
Yeah, you know,
that didn't come in handy at the
taught,
end. The fingering. Get it, ladies.
I get it.
All right.
We all get
what
it.
What are you
Judy.
Talking about?
Yeah. What
fingering?
Yeah.
So anyway, so Mr. Schwalbe. Schwalbe. And did he have kids, Mr. Schwalbe?
He had one daughter, and he taught, you know, this is the thing. I can't believe I'm saying this, but he liked, you know, if there was a girl he was teaching, and I found out about this later, he would like, you know, kind of Mr. Copperfield a little bit.
No way.
Like elbow him and like try to straighten their posture up and all that stuff. And I realized he never did that with the boys. He was like... But, you know, so
you think he was a pedophile?
I think maybe a little.
You know, Elisa, my girlfriend, says pedophile, and it fucking drives me crazy.
That would drive me crazy, too.
She's a therapist.
I think that's like the British spell, like P-A-E.
Yeah, right. Pedophile. I'm like, Elisa, it's not pedophile. It's pedophile.
Pedophile, yeah. I think you're right, Judy.
And then she goes, oh, okay. And then 2 minutes later goes, and pedophile. And I'm like, fuck you. All right,
that
so.
I would leave her for that. Right. I mean, I wouldn't even be with her anymore. Yeah.
All right, so you went to Mr. Schlag.
Yeah,
and like you went once a week, right? Because I had piano lessons too with Mrs. Shallot.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm going to tell a story.
Yeah.
I got my period.
Yeah, on the piano bench?
No, well, I got my period. I came home from my piano lesson and realized, oh, I got my period. And then and then I said to my mother, oh, my God, I got. And I was wearing white painter's pants, because remember painter's pants? And like,
sure, of course, yeah.
And I said to my mother, oh, you know, I got my period. And I swear to God, this is what she said.
Judith.
I think you should call Mrs. Shallot to see if you got anything on the bench.
She
I was
did
like,
not.
I swear to God.
And not call.
Then I wrote a joke about that later in my act. Like, hey, Mrs. Shallot. Yeah, I love doing the scales. Listen, I just got my period. Just wondering, was there any blood on the bench?
I'll be right over. Yeah, what were you supposed to do?
I know, wait. Sweet.
That's wow.
Yeah. All right,
you
so go ahead.
You hear that story.
Okay so... Mr. Schlotterling. So, all right. So, what day do you remember? You went once a week.
Once a week, yeah.
And for half an hour. I remember my lessons were half an hour.
Half an hour. That was it. Half an hour.
And did you practice?
I did not practice so much. My sisters, who were both older, took lessons and they practiced.
With Mr. Schlotterling?
Yeah. And then, like a year or two, then we would always have spring recital.
No way. I never had a recital.
Oh, yeah. He was cool because they rented out a event. Like an old house in Houston that was called Milford House.
Right.
And it was every spring, and in the afternoon it would be the young kids, and in the evening it would be all the teenagers and adults, you know. And it was really fancy, I remember. Well, within like 2 years, I was playing the advanced stuff.
Right.
And I had passed my sisters, my older sisters.
Were they
up.
Annoyed with you?
Totally annoyed. I mean, they were like, Mom, make him stop. He's playing my recital song, and he should be working on his own. It's like, it's
fuck
so
you.
Easy. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So they both quit. They didn't stay with it very long.
Wow.
And then I went away from him and started with other teachers, because by that point I was
Mr. Schlotterling wasn't,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, he couldn't, he was totally by the book. And
right.
I was starting to kind of play by ear. He would play something, and I would kind of play it back. That made him mad, because I don't think he could even do that.
You know what I'm saying?
It was like, so he was like, Mrs. Streich, I cannot teach your son anymore. He does not, I cannot. I'm like, okay, bye. So, you know, they found another teacher for me.
So who was the next one?
His name was Ron Wilson, and he actually got the, I know, right? But that was his name. I haven't thought about
Ron Wilson. Yeah.
Ron Wilson. And he was like a jazz pianist.
Right.
And so he could like teach me how to read chords on the page.
Oh, that's what I never learned that I really wanted to. Yeah.
You know, that was the next step for me. How to like read what they call a lead sheet.
Yes, lead sheet.
The vocal line, the melody line, and then it says G7 or D7 or whatever.
Right.
And he explained to me what that meant and how to execute that on the piano. Was a real turning point for me.
So G, B, D, F sharp.
That's right. Every good
Thank
boy
you.
Does fine.
Yes.
Yeah. F-A-C-E, face.
Yes, face.
All those things.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden the lights started to go on, and the whole mechanism of music and how it's built, the building blocks of all that, started to, you know, become clear to me.
And were your parents like, oh my, I think Billy
Because by
is...
the time I was 12, I was playing in talent shows.
I know. That's what, all right. So all you played... Right. You played at the church.
I did. Well, I played in church.
Right.
Absolutely. The early service.
Like, what was the song?
Well, I played there was a 11 o'clock service that was, like, more formal with the organist. And then, then there was the 8:30 service, which was, like, more contemporary and kind of
nice. Folk. Right.
Yeah. And so I played that service, you know, and it
just you?
Just me. Every now and then we would have, like... you know, a choir that would come in, or maybe someone play guitar, you know, something like that. It was much more kumbaya kind of thing.
And then did you stand, like when they leave, the church? Did you stand there with the, you know, the parishion? Yeah, I mean the, do they, are they priests?
No, they're preachers.
Preach,
you know,
the preacher,
reverend, you know,
the reverend. Would you, you know, how they stand outside and say goodbye?
And say goodbye. I didn't do that. No, right. I played while people were leaving.
See, right. That's good. That's good. You don't have to talk to anyone.
Yeah, it's right. The postlude is what it's called. The prelude and the postlude.
Right. Right. Right.
So I played everybody out, but I was like the little star of the church and my family. You know,
did your sisters want to fucking kill you?
By that point, yes.
And what about your brother?
He had just kind of come along at that point. He's 10 years younger than I am.
Oh, wow. He's a mistake.
No, he's adopted, so not a mistake. But
same thing.
Yeah, right. Right. So when I was like 12,
wait, you got an adopted son?
Yeah.
I mean, a brother?
Yeah, yeah.
How did they tell you that?
We're going to have a... I mean, I was old enough to get it by that point. And I was
like,
kind of into it.
That's so cool that your parents did that.
I think so too. You know, I think they
I love them. Your mother's total lesbian.
I think they probably wanted to have another naturally and probably couldn't.
Right, because she's a lesbian. Sorry.
I will not be telling her to listen.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, so I think that's how that came about. And I
and what's his name?
My mom always said, oh, you always talked about wanting a little brother. And I don't really remember that.
Right.
You know, but I guess it was
good. You know, you just wanted a little
playmate. His name is Steve. Yeah.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah. So
are you close with Steve?
Not that close. Right. Because there's a big age difference.
Right.
And, you know, I don't live there anymore.
Right, right.
You know, so
he's in Sugarland?
He's in Sugarland.
Wow.
What is in the church that was in Sugarland?
Yeah, the one I went to?
Yes. Is it now like a mega church?
It's not.
It's not.
Stayed pretty calm. You know, the one across the street was the Methodist church.
Oh.
They got bigger and bigger and built a new, you know, and it's like that's a big kind of mega church. Not like Joel Osteen's mega church.
Yeah.
Not like that.
Right.
But the Presbyterian church has stayed pretty true to their roots. My grandmother was one of the founders of that.
No way.
In 1920.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's.
By the way, that's the year women were granted the right to vote. Thank you.
And what year do you think it'll be taken away from?
I'm going to go with 2018, end of 2000.
So 100-year run. 100 years, that was good.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it, and it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV, and I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated, and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
So, and you knew you were gay or you didn't?
I kind of did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so was that weird that you're in the church? You're like, I'm a little homo.
I'm a little homo.
Homo, short and stout.
I was. Here is my handle.
But this Presbyterian is not the, they don't do the
they're not
pedophile.
They're not
pedophiles.
They're not, yeah. It was very accepting.
That's Catholic.
No talking in tongues.
No.
None of that either.
None of that. No confession.
Did you go to church?
I went to Methodist church when there was church. But church didn't really work for my family. Certainly didn't work for me.
Right.
Or your mother, who's a Jew.
Well, that was part of the reason it didn't work for my family.
Okay.
What I liked about church when I got to be a teenager is there was like the youth group, PYF.
Right, because you could touch little balls and stuff.
A little bit. And camp outs, you know, we'd go on camping trips and everything. And it was kind of fun because it was more fun to me than school than actual school.
Right. Because
I liked this group of kids.
Right,
you
right.
know, that was kind of fun.
Oh, my God, I love that. So, all right. So then you play, they love you.
Balls and nice.
Then you play at the local country club.
I do.
What was the name of the country?
Quail Valley Country Club. Quail Valley Golf Club.
So was this like where Lindsey Graham would go and Chuck Grassley and all those fucking white?
No, it wasn't.
What
like
was
that.
It like?
When I started playing there, I think I was 14 maybe. And I started playing happy hour in the cocktail, in the bar. And it was 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And I couldn't drive at that point. So my mom would pick me up from school at 3:40. And bring my work clothes, and I get in the back seat, and I like change into my little tie. I had like several outfits, drop me off, and it was cool because I normally played for these lady golfers who would come in and play golf.
Lesbians,
exactly.
Yeah,
they would come in every day, and that's where I really learned the value of learning songs because they were going to play Scotch and Soda, play all this stuff.
Right.
And it's like I don't know it. And they would like. I remember one lady named Polly Holiday, Polly. Robinson, Polly Holiday's an actress.
Right.
And she was always trying to get me to learn new songs. And when I would learn them, they would put money in the tip jar.
Ooh. Oh.
So it's like, oh, this
that's
music
how I make money.
That's cool.
But were they allowed to pay you at the country club even though you were 14?
Yes.
All right.
I worked 15 hours a week and made $10 an hour.
Wow.
I got a check for $150 every week. Can
that's
you believe?
Awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
My God. In the 1970s?
76, 77,
that's a lot.
It's a lot. I bought my first electric piano from that. I mean, I really saved money.
Your sisters must have fucking hated you at this point.
I bought a grand piano.
Wow.
I went and picked it out, and I financed it and everything. I paid it off over 3 years, and it's still in my parents' house.
So wow.
My sisters hated me. I just
streaked
right ahead.
So did anyone try to sexually do anything at the country club?
No, not at all.
Wow.
No, unless I buried it so far
down. Right.
Yeah.
Anyone? All right. So then your older sister loved Billy Joel and Elton John. So she got you into that kind of?
Well, it was Elton John. Christmas, I think 1973, both of my sisters gave me Elton John's Honky Chateau.
Oh, yeah.
You'll like this. And
right.
I did like it.
Right.
And I liked the fact that he played and sang.
Right.
And then when I was in high school, you and I, same, we're kind of the same age, Billy Joel was big.
Yes, very big.
And also Barry Manilow, I have to say.
I forgot both Billy and Barry.
I loved him,
Barry.
And of course at that point it was like, he's so gay, you can't love Barry,
barely
man enough.
I still love him.
I still love him too. You know, I know him, I'm sure you've met
him. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's like totally great.
But what about like Weekend in New England. I mean, they're just
fantastic.
Fucking great songs.
Still great stuff. I mean, it's just great. I went to a concert of his a couple of years ago at Barclays Center, and it's like hit after hit.
Oh,
after
I know.
I went to one
in New York.
Oh, my God.
It was
like
great.
35 number one hits.
But don't you feel like so old when you go to that concert?
No.
Oh.
Because you're surrounded by people who everyone's the same age. Everyone's
so true.
Old.
And I go, oh my God, we're so
you know,
old.
And I remember talking to him afterwards. I said, you know, because some of the people are, especially the women.
Right.
You know, right
oh, they go fucking crazy.
You know, and I said, doesn't it drive you crazy? And he said, no. He said, those are my people. They love me. He has got such a good attitude.
I know.
It. He looks
why did it
to,
take him so long to come out? I guess it's that age thing.
It's that age, I think. You know, and I think probably
that
it would
generation.
Not have been easy for him to come out certainly when he became big.
Right.
And then later, maybe he thought he would disappoint people. I don't know. And then finally, he got to a point where he's like, you know, fuck it. I've been with Gary for 39 right. years. And, you know,
is Gary Jewish?
Gary Keefe, maybe no. so. K-I-E-F.
Irish? I don't know.
Maybe.
Queef?
Sweet. Nice.
Gary Queef. All right. So yeah, yeah. then you go to college.
Yes. Barely. Went to college. I went to North Texas State University for like a semester and a half.
Really? That's it?
That's it. That's it.
Were you going to study music? Like
I was there to study music. It's a huge, big music school.
Right.
And it was like a big jazz music school. And I get there and I'm ready to like be the star. And
right.
It's like, well, there's also 1,800 other music students that are ready to be the star.
No you know? Way.
So it was overwhelming to
but
me.
But were they good?
Yeah. And they were from all over the country.
Right.
And they were good. And I really felt kind of overwhelmed by that. But it was very social. I liked living away from home, finally.
Right.
In the dorm.
But were you popular in high school? Like, did you have a good high school?
See, yeah.
And you were in the marching band.
Because of the music. In the marching band. I was in the marching band. In the stage band, which was like a big band.
Yeah. And no one ever, like, called you faggoty fag? Or
yeah. Oh, yeah.
They did?
I got that.
Did you ever get a boy? Have a boyfriend there? Or?
Yeah, I had guys I fooled around with.
Really? Are they straight?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
yeah.
There's one who I doubt is. But,
like football players and stuff?
Not football players, but
right.
you know.
I thought everyone in Texas was a football player.
Well, not almost, but not quite. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, there were a couple guys that, you know, fooled around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you go to, so you're at this college and you're like, oh my God, I'm not the number
because
one.
Because it was like, you know, in the dorm, there was one whole wing of the dorm that was like the guys in drama.
Right.
Well, it was like
flaming. Oh, you must have gotten laid.
Flaming.
Yeah.
It was like, that's the first time I had really hung around effeminate
right.
guys who were like the same age.
Right.
You know, I'd always heard about older.
Right, right.
So that was an eye-opener for me.
Right.
You know, and I started hanging out really with the drama kids.
Right.
And like playing for productions and stuff like that. Not going to my music classes.
Right.
Not doing any of that. Not going to history. You know,
right.
Any of that stuff. So I flunked out the first semester, and I was flunking out the second semester pretty bad.
Right.
And unfortunately, my oldest sister got into a really bad car accident. I'm going to bring it down right now. She was got in a car. She was in a coma for about a week.
Right.
And then, I mean, she the happy ending. She was right. fine. But when that happened, my mom called and said, "This is what's happened. You should just come home. We need you. We need you to be home." Though, you know, because I wasn't having success.
Right. Right. Right.
So I remember packing up my stuff at night, putting it all in my car, kind of and driving home in the middle of the night.
No way.
Yeah, it was very.
That's very.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
Very dramatic. It's like a great
and you
scene
were
in
so,
my movie.
I know. Yeah. Wow. And did you have a roommate that you had to say I'm leaving?
Yeah, but I hated him.
Fuck
and
him.
And we hardly ever
was talked. He in the music program?
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
I have no
He's
idea.
He's a fucking I asshole. His name's Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah. I never saw him again.
Is his name Mark Judge? All right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. So, all right. So you leave.
I leave.
You have to deal with your sister.
Yeah. Deal with the sister. But I kind of jumped right into the music scene in Houston at that point. And
Houston?
Started like looking for Houston.
But what about Montgomery Plant and Stritch?
That came a few years later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that
well,
came
change that
two or
fucking
three years.
Whatever the hell.
Well,
okay, so then...
Well, I'll tell you how that came about.
Yeah.
The next semester, I enrolled at University of Houston.
You're right.
And I kind of gravitated toward the drama department because that's what I
right.
realized that I loved.
Right.
Was musicals and show tunes
and
all that
guys.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And gay guys. And that's where I met the two girls that I started that group with. And at the time, it was a girl named Sharon Montgomery. Still is a girl named
yeah.
Sharon Montgomery. And Sally Mays, who
right.
you might know.
Oh, I know Sally,
Sally
Mays.
Sally Mays. So that's how we met. And we formed a group called Montgomery, Mays, and
Stritch. Right, right.
And we started working in this club in Houston called Rascals, which is the gay bar.
Oh, yeah. They're all called. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. And this is like 1982.
Right.
And we
oh,
became
do you have Brett Kavanaugh's calendar?
A huge hit. We became
right.
a big deal.
And they were just music students?
Drama.
Drama students.
Yeah. How that came about is there was a cast, one of them, Sharon gave a party for the drama kids at her. She was living at her, and she was already living with her boyfriend
right.
in a house they rented. So it was like real adults,
ooh.
You know. And everybody was, and the three of us got up and sang Lullaby of Broadway, and we each found our
Your
harmony.
Own thing.
And I was like, holy shit, as it was happening, oh my God, this is, we sound
We
together.
Are
and
the Andrews Sisters.
We,
yeah.
And we learned three songs. We went to this club called Rascals. They said, we have an opening in 2 weeks. We had 2 weeks to put together 3 hours worth of material.
No way.
Three yeah. hours.
Three.
Oh
well,
God.
Yeah, about 3 hours.
So what'd sets. You do? Just like gay show tunes.
Woodshedded, yeah. Best Little Whorehouse in Texas medley. Right. Little Shop of Horrors medley.
Right.
And all this Andrews Sisters
shit. And you were accompanying and singing?
Accompanying and singing. And they were standing and singing.
So did you get more money for accompanying and singing?
Three-way split.
Wow.
I should have.
I know.
Were you working on things like banter at this point?
Oh, yeah. Well, the banter just came naturally. They were funny.
That's great.
I was kind of the straight man.
Hey, now!
But after a while, I was funny, too. Right. It opened up. All of a sudden, it was like the rush of that laughter and that applause. It was like the light came on.
I'm still chasing it, baby.
I'm telling you, I never looked back.
So did you graduate from that college?
Never. I was there for a year, again, 1 year. And then then I was working. We were working all the time.
Did they stay in college?
We were working in Dallas. We were working in Little Rock, Arkansas.
So they didn't graduate either?
No. Neither one of
You're
them.
You're a horrible,
And
horrible
we came
influence.
To New York and worked at and did a gig at the Duplex.
Right.
And then Don't Tell Mama.
What year was this?
82.
Wow.
82, 80/83.
Right.
Somehow we got a gig working summers in Newport, Rhode Island.
Wow. And you live there?
We went there for like a month. And
worked,
and stayed and had friends.
You're living the life.
We were living the life, I have to say. We were really, and I had enough money to get my own apartment.
Right.
And so it was like life was starting, and it was great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then how did you guys break up?
Well, Sally left the group after about a year and a half. And then we found another girl called Rebecca Plant. And so we had 7 years as Montgomery, Plant, and Stritch.
I like that.
Yeah. And from that point, we got a manager here in New York. We worked the Algonquin all the time.
Ugh.
We worked the Cafe Carlisle a couple times. We did jazz festivals in Europe. We did Carnegie Hall twice.
Wow.
We were together 7 years. Until we realized that we couldn't get a recording contract. We wanted to be like the next Manhattan Transfer.
Right.
That kind of stuff. And that we couldn't quite break through that.
Now, when you were with them, were you doing other gigs too?
No, it was just that. We were working all the time. And I was just doing that. I wasn't working with anyone else. I had done some gigs with Marilyn May early on. And so I've known her forever.
Right.
But once I started working with this trio.
I know. She said she saw you when you were like a teenager.
17. Yeah, 17.
What kind of crowds are in those rooms back in those days? Like, who's coming out to see? Is it older people? It's people.
It was everything.
It was everything.
Absolutely.
So the cabaret, it was smoke is everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Well, that especially was like, in the gay ones.
It was
they were standing six deep at the bar. There was like maybe eight tables in the room. It was tiny. Smoke everywhere.
Oh, please. Yeah. I used to go on the road and I'd come home and I'd open my suitcase.
And just smoke would come out. Absolutely.
It was ridiculous.
I mean, neither one of the girls smoked and they were always complaining about their clothes and everything.
Yeah.
I smoked, so it was.
Yeah. Why do you still smoke?
Shut up. We're not going to talk about that.
Right.
We said, you told me you wouldn't mention that.
Oh, right.
Okay.
You ended up playing with Mel Torme.
We opened for Mel Torme in 1988.
Right.
At Carnegie Hall. Yes.
Like, aren't you freaking out?
Yeah. Oh, totally freaking out. That was great because he was an idol of mine,
Of
course. And we got this chance to open for him. And my whole family came up.
Oh, really? Even your sisters?
My sisters, my parents, my little brother, my grandmother, who I adore.
Oh.
She was the best. And she, at that point, she was, 80 something.
Right.
And she
they
loved
must have
it.
Been like, Billy is playing at Carnegie. Well, not as Jews. Billy's playing at Carnegie Hall.
That's right.
We're all going up
to Carnegie Hall.
I was at the church the other day and I said, Billy's playing at Carnegie Hall.
That's right. That's what it was like. That was what it was like.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn for part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now.
No, Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.